Let's turn to your syllabus, page 3. How to use this manual. There's actually 3 different important facets to these materials. One is that there are pages in which you're going to be filling in the blank. And because Reverend Lloyd Strom has developed these materials as a whole brain learning package, when you fill out the worksheets, when you fill out pages on the syllabus, you are activating your left brain. Along with everything that you would be filling out in the blank lines and the information that's given, there's also icons associated with each learning segment. And so the icons or the pictures activate the right brain. And so the whole brain activity begins to take place. But there's also the coloring of these materials, which I'm going to speak about shortly. But with the coloring, what happens is that we begin to move part of our body. And so the information that you've written, the information that you see, now enters into your awareness within your body. And so it is a completely additional dimension to a whole brain learning experience. Then finally, we say that it is very important as a learning device for you to read the syllabus out loud when you do your studies. And this is because what you hear, you forget, what you see, you remember, but what you say, you become. And so this syllabus is filled with words of truth. And by reading it, we engage in a relationship with truth, with the anointing that's contained in the writings. And also what happens is by reading it out loud, we hear the truth as well as speak it. And also by doing the coloring within the next few days, you're reviewing the material that we've discussed. And that material then in the coloring process enters your awareness and is most likely to stay. You get anchored in the truth that's contained in the materials. So what I want to do next is have you turn to the next page, and I want to speak about the cosmic palette or the spectrum of life. And so what we have done here, Lloyd and myself, in the development of this work over these many years, is besides presenting a whole brain learning experience, we are using color to communicate in very specific ways. And so what we see at the top of the cosmic palette, we have white, which means wholeness, represents the wholeness of God. It represents the completeness of the universe, you might say. Down here at the bottom, we have black, which is the mystery. And in God, there's always that which is revealed, the wholeness, and always more to be revealed, which is the mystery of life, the mystery of God. And then what you see is that we have blue, which represents spirit. And it's no accident that in all of the spiritual traditions, blue has been one of the high colors. We see Krishna's face painted blue. We see Mary adorned in the blue shawl. We see in Islam the eloquence of the blue ceramic tiles that are in many, many mosques. But most importantly, at the inner level, it represents that blue pearl that we see in advanced practice of meditation as the third eye or the opening of the third eye. So blue has always connoted a heavenly color, representing the things of heaven. And then down here we have pink, which represents the body. It doesn't refer to anyone's skin color, but it refers to the pink of the flesh. And no matter what anyone's skin color is, the tongue is always pink. And so we use pink as the body of our own individual bodies, but also the body of the whole manifest universe, symbolically representing anything that is in form. And so what happens, we have yellow as another primary color between the pink and the blue. And the yellow stands for our intellect or the life of the mind. And so we begin to see some interesting things as we color. And all of this coloring can be done with these three primary colors, blue, yellow, and pink highlighter markers. That's what we suggest for you to use for the manual. So what happens when you mix blue, representing spirit, and yellow, intellect, those two colors mixed together form green, which stands for the intuition. So when spirit enters our mind, we have awakened the intuitive voice within each one of us. Or I should say, our intuition speaks differently to each of us. Some of us see it, some of us hear it, and some of us sense it. That voice of God, if you will, is unique to each one of us in terms of what is the stronger modality in which we interact with it. But as spirit begins to fill our mind, we have a sense of the sweet, small voice that begins to guide and direct our lives. Now, what happens when we mix the yellow, the mind, the yellow marker, with the pink of the body, we get the emotional level, that when the mind enters the body, it enters it through the emotions. The emotions connect the body with the mind. But now what happens, which is really what this course is about, bringing heaven to earth, that when we mix the blue spirit with the body, we get something that vibrates higher than both of them on the color spectrum. That is violet. And violet stands for love. And so mixing spirit coming to earth, heaven coming to earth, we get love. And that is why in this course, we're taking a departure from many of the other classes and work we've done before, which has been developing spirit ending the intellect and strengthening our intuition. That's where most of our focus has been done in the past classes we've done together. But see, now what we're working with is spirit entering the body so that we are a center for the revelation of divine love. And so it's important that you work with your coloring. There's also another color that you'll see in the, especially in the icons, and it's gray, which represents our subconscious mind, that part of our mind that we don't have access, conscious access to, unless we engage in some practices that bring the light of awareness, spirit, down through our intellect, our conscious mind, so that we can go into the subjective mind or the subconscious and bring light to those places that are dark in us at the subconscious level. And all of the healing work that we've done and that we will do this year, that's the activity that's taking place. So I thought it would be important for us to review those things as a foundation for the workbook. So let's turn to the next page now. Page 5, what's the truth? This course of study that we're involved in this year is based upon principles of spiritual truth which are universal in nature. And when we speak of truth, we're speaking of truth with a capital T. These are the universal principles that have transcended any given time and place. These are the universal principles that have been revealed through the sacred traditions. And so what we know, first of all, from Scripture on line 1 there, right in free, truth sets us free. One of the most significant scriptures in the Gospel of John. Through the ages, this biblical promise has served humanity as a beacon of hope. And what we come to see, and I know that many of you are already aware of this, but we're going to see it with a perhaps with greater clarity as we proceed this year, is that spiritual truth is not a fact, but it is a feeling. It's a feeling of freedom that comes from a deep understanding or a deep wisdom. And this is why when you know something at the level of wisdom, no matter what anybody says, you don't change your mind. But what's even more important is that you don't have to convince them about anything. That there's an acceptance. And when you understand something at the deep level of wisdom and have that acceptance, you have no need to change anybody else but to just love them. Because what happens as we go further into truth, and truth reveals itself from the inside out, truth reveals itself through that voice of intuition, out of our relationship with the divine, that what we come to know is ourself, ourself, capital S, self-knowledge, which is not information, which is not a fact, but which is the wisdom that's gained about who we are in relation to the highest spiritual truths known to humanity. And what it really comes down to is the divinity within us. That is what self, capital S, knowledge is. And so when we touch that truth, we can stand in the face of great, great challenge. We can stand in the face of sorrow, of great difficulty, but know something in us is transcendent, and that we are given the strength to walk out in faith what is before us. And so the second statement is, truth is not debatable. On line two there, debatable. A debate is a contest of ideas based on the evidence of the senses. But spiritual truth is a unitive realization based on unseen evidence, which is faith. And that's why most of the debates about religion primarily only serve the people debating. It reinforces their own beliefs. Whereas through spiritual practice, many years of spiritual practice, we come into that greater unitive realization, and our faith is developed, and there's nothing to debate. And again, there's only an acceptance and an understanding of a wisdom to give and to share. And consequently, truth can only be realized by the one who is seeking it. I cannot give you your truth. However, we can engage in conversations, we can engage in sharings, we can engage in spiritual practices together, that if you are genuine in your seeking, a way will always be given. A way is always given. A door is open for you to enter into these deeper recesses within your own being through faith and through practice. And the divinity that has been a seed in you from the beginning blossoms and grows. And our spiritual practice feeds that, so that we then come to a greater understanding and wisdom of who we are as divine, as a child of the Most High. And that's why many years ago, when you started this seeking, this search, you did things in your life that you no longer do. Because as you matured in your spiritual understanding and matured in truth or matured in wisdom, those other things that didn't support your intention to evolve in greater self-awareness, greater self-realization, simply fall away. Now, there's always those things, and we're going to confront some of them this year, the things that we've been hanging on to that don't support our spiritual movement forward. And it reminds me of a student who was in my congregation in Sausalito, California. He said, there wasn't anything that I ever let go of that didn't have deep claw marks on it. And so our practice, we will touch some of those too this year. And thirdly, truth must be tested. On line three, tested. The nature of the world is such that it will produce evidence to our senses that will prove the validity of whatever it is that we believe, whether it is truth or not. And we all have those examples of things we believed and we were so sure about them, because our senses told us. But when we entered the great reality of self-realization and the wisdom within, and came to know who we are from the spiritual side of life, we entered a new domain. And that what we thought about our senses was just evidence of the senses and not of the principles of truth that stand behind all that we are. And that's why everybody says, I'll believe it when I see it. And so when we say that, what we're saying is that we only can agree upon the truth that we can all see, like this table is here. However, when we come to a higher spiritual understanding, we say, I'll see it when I believe it. That our beliefs have power, that our beliefs form our circumstances, and that our beliefs actually create our experience of life. And this is why Jesus said, it is done unto you as you believe. He didn't say it is done unto you as you see, or is done unto you as you feel, because I felt a lot of things that had nothing to do with what was truth. But out of that, our healing comes. And basically, what we're doing over and over again is strengthening our relationship with the divine by walking it out in faith. And so here's the big question. If your current belief system is not challenged by the principles that we're going to be touching upon, there would be very little point in you being in this class or working with these ideas. However, when you are in disbelief about something that's being presented or something that's being taught, the appropriate response is not to debate. We're not here to debate truth. We're here to come into the realization of truth. And one of the ways that we can test truth is with this big question. So on line 4, what you write is, if this were true for me, would I be more free? Because freedom is the proof of truth. Freedom, capital F. The soul is implanted with the pattern of freedom, the template of perfection. And so our whole spiritual journey is for a greater revelation of freedom within our soul. Freedom to know who we are at the spiritual level of our being, to be in God communion, and to come to that exalted state of self-realization. And so if there's something that we have disbelief about, it's not about trying to change the principle of truth. It's about us working with our own belief systems until we unpack them in such a way that what is behind the disbelief can be touched through our seeking the truth of the principle that's really operating, the invisible principle that's behind all life. And so it's our job to conform our thinking to truth, not to try to change truth. And we all have that foundation about the one life that is God. And every time that we are in upset with somebody, or every time that we are accusing somebody, we have entered into two, right? Two against. And so we're into separation. And when you're into separation, when you experience separation, when I experience separation, I have lost touch with the truth that I speak almost every day, that there is only one life, and this life is God. And what happens on the spiritual path is that through our practice and through our classes, we have moments in the beginning of the experience of what that oneness feels like, what the truth of our oneness with the divine feels like. And so then we go out into life and we forget, and we start acting in separated ways. But that's just how it is. In other words, it's very similar to what we do in meditation. When we're in meditation and we're focused on our breathing and there's that deep sense of peace and oneness, and then the mind goes over here till tomorrow or next week, and we're in separation from that peace and that oneness. And so what happens when we get out of our prayer chair and go out into the world, it's the same dynamic, only it's much bigger. Not only are we not separated from that peace in our own breath, now we're separated from others. And so all of our spiritual practice is to live from that place of connectedness, of that oneness, what Yogananda is calling the resurrection of the Christ within us. That out of the resurrection of the Christ within us and the revelation of our wholeness, the promise is that we can walk in that exalted state of the oneness of truth the majority of time. And I didn't believe that in the beginning of my spiritual practice, in my spiritual life. I thought it was some fantasy for the exalted few. And it was really through a Buddhist monk, Shinzen Young, and some work I did with him many years ago, that he said something in a particular way that made me realize that it was available and I simply had to do what was before me. And with every spiritual teacher I had, when I brought that understanding that I was to do what was before me, to do the practices that were given by my teachers, that I saw in them something that I wanted, and so I was willing to surrender and do the practices, sometimes with a lot of resistance, of course, because it's not easy work. If enlightenment was easy work, we'd all be enlightened. But it's valuable work. It's work for all eternity. It's not just for this lifetime. But every time I did that, greater truth was revealed. And out of that, greater self-knowledge was revealed. And I came to that place where I could make wiser decisions about everything in my life. Every decision that was before me, small little ones to big ones concerning the direction of my ministry. And so this is the path that we've started here tonight. This walking out in faith, in truth, to a greater realization of the truth that is within us. Okay. Let's just pause here.